Okay, today's daf is Ksubis daf Kuf Ches 108. As we are in the last few dafim here of Meseches Ksubis of Shas Katan, so you got to finish Shas Katan before we finish Shas. So Baruch Hashem, towards the end. Here we go. Says the Gemara. We are on the last couple of lines of the Gemara on Kuf Zayin Mabez, where the Gemara laid down the law of what is the halacha in various cases. We don't always paskin like the Gemara, even when the Gemara says Hilchas Akavase de blank. But most of the time it works. But either way, the Gemara here says we hold like Rav, and that was yesterday's discussion, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether we give a woman Mizonos while the husband went to Medina Sayam, which is the pashtus of the Mishnah that we had yesterday. And when Rabbi Yochanan heard the Ukimta of maybe it only means Shema Bashemes, he was not happy about it. He thinks Poskin Mizonos Le'eshetish, like Rav. Number two, we paskin like Rav Huna Amar Rav, that we know Mizonos and Maisi Adayim have a relationship with each other, Mizonos Tachas Maisi Adayim, but who is in charge of saying to who, you know, let's break this up, so the husband's in charge. I'm sorry, the woman also has the rights. You call each other the baila. The wife could say, I'm not going to take Mizonos, and I'm not going to get, I'm not going to have to give you my Maisi Adayim. That was number two. And the last one we wanted to speak a little bit about today is Vehilchaza Kavase Derev Zvid Bakunya. And the halacha is like Rav Zvid when it comes to kunya, when it comes to certain types of kelim. Why is this here? Because Mistamba, the Misora was to say these three halachas together in terms of what the psak was. So what's the last case of kunya? D'amar Zvid, hanamani de kunya. These kelim of kunya, Rashi seems to say that they are like glazed kind of kelim, right? There's some type of covering to the kelim. Rashi says, klecheres shemachapin aleihem oferes. You put a type of lead over it, meaning it's a cheres earthenware kli, which has a little bit of metal covering it. Plumbler balas, right? Some type of glazed type of covering. The key is that the kli itself should not require tefillah, because it is made out of cheres, but the glaze is a type of metal, and therefore metal, as we know, requires tefillah. Metal and glass require tefillah. So what about this type of kli? So, chivri v'uchmei sharu. Chivri, or not only, I shouldn't say, not only, the context is not tefillah, the context is hagalah and absorption. That's the real issue. So chivra v'uchmi shari yeruke aser. The white and the black coverings, that is mutter, because we don't assume anything got in. That is not porous at all. But the other colors, the yeruke is aser, because that is, the green is porous. Yaruk is not only always green in the Talmud, we're translating it as green now, but the different type of color. And again, Rashi says, yaruk yasiri, he has the opposite gear, so he has yaruk first. Le'inyin chameitz bepesach v'gi'ule ovde kochavim v'yayin nesach. Regarding tarfus, meaning not kosher, not kosher. Chametz on Pesach, are you allowed to use these kalim? Do we assume that chametz the whole year was nivla inside? And even though that's what's called in halacha, hetera bala, right? It was when it was absorbed, it was mutter, it was chametz the whole year, but still, once Pesach comes along, you know, even if it was hetera bala, but now it has chametz inside. So, yeruke, we assume, is porous, it goes through to the kli, and therefore, it is aser, giulia de kochavi ayinesach, chivri sharu, but the white is sharu, Rashi, lafi shaha oferes machlikas acheres. This metal smooths out and creates a layer on the cheres, ve'eno menicho livloa, and does not allow it to be bolea. That is what this type of metal does. But the Yerokim are Me'urav Tzrif, and it goes through, Rashi explains, and that's why it's a problem. Velo Amran El Deles Behu Kartufni, and the Gemara finishes up by saying, and this is all, this Chiluk only applies, and the white and the black would be Mutter, because there's no Blia, only if there are no cracks. Aval Isbu Kartufni Asiri, but if there are any cracks to allow the Blias in, so that would be Aser. So again, this context of the Gemara is about a Blia for Treif, and that is the chilek between this type of metal. But we know glazed comes up by tevilas kalim as well, as I started off talking. And that is, what do you mean? Where does it come up? We know China. So China generally does not need to be kashered, because does not need to be toveled. Let's take one step back. There is two different halachas, tefilas kelim and hagalas kelim. What's the difference between tefila and hagala? Hagala is just one example of getting out ta'amim, tastes that were absorbed. Right? You could also use fire. Right, libun, hagala, all these are where there is a problem, and we need to remove a certain type of taste. Right, giule midyan, as we have at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, we conquered Midyan, and we took their kalim, the spoils, and it had non-kosher tastes in it. So I have to remove those non-kosher tastes in order to be able to use them. So there are different models. The Gemara describes in Maseches Avodah Zarah, how could I remove non-kosher taste? Milchiks and fleishiks and treif and all, and chametz on Pesach, how do I remove that? So the Gemara describes a couple of ways, and the Gemara says, kabolo kach palto. How it went in, that's how it goes out. So for example, let's say it was all used in cold. May ikar hadin, our kosos, generally, that we use for our kiddush, that we use just for wine, and we never put it into the dishwasher because it's silver. And it was never in hot, so may ikar hadin, to use those on Pesach, they only have to be rinsed. And then they can be used, because it was all cold going in, it was cold going out, nothing got in. But the minug is to be magol then, but that's a minug. That's fine, wonderful, the minug. But that is the me'ikar adin. But other things that, where treif got in through heat, so then I have to kasher it through heat. The taste is only removed through heat, and that's why in most cases of forks and knives and modern day mistakes made in the kitchen, most of them can be solved with hagala, boiling up a pot of boiling water and dumping it in, because the boiling out water helps remove the taste. Certain items like a barbecue, like other things that were absorbed through fires, that's even hotter, and that would have to be removed through fire as well. That is all hagala. It's interesting to note that there is no bracha on hagala. We don't make a bracha when we kasher something. We do make a bracha when we tovel, tefilas kelim, because tefilas kelim has nothing to do with removing anything. Tefilas kelim is hosafas kedusha. When we have a kli that was made by a non-Jew or owned by a non-Jew, so we are mosif kedusha to it by putting it into a mikvah, similar to a ger. A ger has to go to a mikvah in order to become Jewish. A kli, a glass kli midrabanan, a metal kli midaraisa, has to be tovelt in order to be mosif kedusha to it. That's in a mikvah. Cold water, right? Not hot water. Tefillah and hagala, we have to remember the difference between the two. For tefillah, we make a bracha. Because by hosafas kedusha, we make a bracha. We never make a bracha by removing a problem. We don't make a bracha for those who do mayim achronim. There's no bracha on mayim achronim. Because that's removing a problem. That's not like the Tilas Yadayim at the beginning of the meal, where we're being Mosif Kedusha. Mayim Achronim, we don't make a bracha, because it's removing something. Right? So moving the Melach Stomis, or getting your hands clean for benching, whatever the reason is. It's no bracha. Hagala, we were kashering, we're removing a taste, so then there is no bracha. Right? Dvar Mishum Sakana. When we leave a cemetery, and we wash our hands three times to remove the Ruach Ra, there's no bracha. We make a bracha in the morning, because there are three reasons we wash the Tilas Yadayim. One of those reasons being, we're Mosif Kedusha, because like a Kohen at the Kiyar, about to do the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, that's why the bracha. If the reason was purely Ruach Ra, so that we would not make a bracha, because that's just a removal of the problem. So this is the difference between Hagala and Tefillah. So our Gemara here is talking about Hagala in terms of when is there Bliya, when is there absorption of taste inside the kalims. That's what we said, even though Cheres is usually absorbent, but because it has this glaze of metal, so then in certain colors of the glaze, it protects. Cheres, as we know in Halach, is the one that's probably why they used to make these kalim, because they Cheres with the types of kalim that they had, but it's the only one that you can't kasher. Right, we know Cheres cannot be kosher. China generally cannot be kosher. That's by Cheres. What about glass? That's a machlokas. Glass also ultimately comes from sand, comes from the earth. So glass, we know, is a major machlokas Rishonim, three different days in the Rishonim, what we paskin by glass. And generally, the minhag of Ashkenazim is to paskin one way the whole year and paskin the other way on Pesach. The whole year, we generally assume that glass is not boleya at all. Glass is smooth, it's shifi, right? There's no kartufni in the glass, and therefore, Meikar Hadin, even though You know, if we live in an affluent society and we have different glasses for milchiks and fleishiks, Meikra did, you could use the same glasses for milchiks and fleishiks. And you could have hot chocolate and wash it out, and you could have chicken soup in the same glass. Because glass, Meikra did, according to a number of Rishonim, is not Bolea. On Pesach, we're Machmir. On Pesach, we assume the opposite Shita. Not only is glass Bolea, but it cannot be kashered. It's like Cheres. And therefore, we don't kasher unless there's a tzara gadol, we don't kasher glass for Pesach, because we assume like the other extreme. There is a third opinion, and that's like in the middle, that glass is bolei and it can't be kashered. But again, the minog in most circles is to assume the most bagel shita the whole year and the most machmer shita for Pesach. Just last point, we're getting back to the glaze, and that is, what about glazed china? So that is a question in the postgame, because china itself does not need to be toveled, because only glass and metal, but glazed china has a thin layer of glass on the china, right? It makes it shiny. So does one have to tovel glazed china? So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, 100 plus years ago, he talks about some type of glaze, and he says, yes, he says, that changes it, the glaze. And he talks about, in Hilchas Tfilas Kelim and Simen Kuf Chaf, he says, Klei su'uda ka'aros gedolos v'ktanos, mishel cheres, milubanim yafim, ubarim, shekorin pertzeli. Right, sounds like porcelain. Ve'ein v'hem shum matris, v'rakim milubanim ve'esh v'olam nagu latzbilam. Ve'ein amuvan atam, al mahim tzrichim tfila. V'hare ein v'hem atam shomru chazal b'schuchis. V'ilu k'nishav v'chulu. V'lachin l'chalilo l'varech al tfilasan. This other type of kli. Vayibrachol avatala deitzorch tefila. V'yirali, du'ulai bi'amim ha'kadmonim ha'yu kelim ha'elam mitzupim b'schuchis. It was covered and glazed with glass. Rak shekorin glazert. V'ilu v'adai tzrichim tefila. D'chipoy b'schuchis ha'vi ketzipoy b'matris. Like our Gemara talks about a layer, so glass would need. V'raisi kelim ke'elu. U'mizen ishtar b'vaminog d'kli portzali tzrichim tefila. V'lo diktiku ben glazerit u'ben le'enim glazerit. That's what he talks about here. But the many poskim say, Rav Shechta points this out, and others, that it could be that their glaze was different than our glaze. They had a thick layer of 100 years ago. But now, Bizman Hazeh, it's very, very thin. It's like not even a layer. So that's a major, for sure, if one wants to be machmer and tovel it without a bracha. But many poskim say it does not have to be toveled. China does not need to be toveled, even glazed china, because it's not considered a layer. But again, once you ask their local posek, in terms of what to do, Lamaisa. I mentioned before, just the last point, comparing it to comparing Tfilas Kelev to Tfilas Ger, there is an interesting question in the Darkei Tshuva, one of the Achron in the Munkansher on Yoredeya, what he talks about, does a Ger have to Tovel his Kelim when he becomes a Ger? He's non-Jewish, and he becomes Jewish, but it's still his Kelim. So is that like owned by a non-Jew? It was owned by me. So is that owned by a non-Jew? So, generally, that's the discussion of the Darkei Tshuva. It's fascinating that it's not quoted in Shulchan Aruch or anybody on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. But that's what he discusses in terms of that. Right? We're careful on Pesach not to sell our clay chametz. Right? We only sell our chametz, and maybe the bli is inside the kelim. The kelim aren't sold, because then it might be a shaila of having to tovel your whole kitchen after Pesach when you buy it back from a non-Jew. So we'd rather not do that. So that's why we're makpid, even those who would assume that if they're sold, they're sold. Right? Which they are sold, but we don't sell the kelim. We sell the bli is in the kelim, at most, and not the kelim themselves. Okay. Let's continue with the next Mishnah. So we had a little bit of tefilas kelim here in Maseches, and Hagolas Kalim here in Maseches Ksubis. Next Mishnah. So we are now up to number two statement of what Chanan said. Remember, Chanan said two statements and Admon said seven. So what does Chanan say? So this is the second discussion. Mishalachim dinas ayam ba'amad echad upinis ezishto. Right, case number one was, could a woman get mizonos during her lifetime? While the husband went to Bedinas Hayam. A little slightly different case. The husband went to Bedinas Hayam, and someone else stepped in without being asked. Va'amad echad upirnes es ishto. Somebody else comes in and is befarnes the wife. He knows that she's in need. He's befarnes her. So, Chanan omer ibeid es ma'osav. Chanan said he's a great guy. He did a great ma'isa chesed, but there's no obligation to pay him back. Ibeid es ma'osav. He loses his money. Meaning, when the husband comes back and he says, could you please pay me back? The husband could say, thank you, but, you know, it's your mitzvah, I'm not paying you back. Nechleku alav b'nei kohanim gedolim, v'amru yishava kama hotzi v'yitol. The b'nei kohanim gedolim argue and say, no, he gets to swear how much he expended on her, and he gets to take that. Yishava v'yitol, right? Nishba v'notel, right? We know on the all the shvuos daraisa are nishba v'niftar, as we mentioned, the three shvuos daraisas, and the shvuos darabanan that are all listed in Masechta Shvuos are nishba v'notel. So here's one of them that he gets to say what, how much he expanded v'yitol. Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkan is kedivrehem. Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkan is like what they said. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gadol Hador said yafe omar Chanan. No, I agree with Chanan. Hiniach ma'osav al keren hatzvi. He put his money on the horns of a deer. And therefore, meaning like a deer runs away, he's not going to get his money. So he lost his money. So before we get to the halacha, why dafka a deer? Why is that mentioned? Hiniach ma'osav al keren hatzvi. So if you look at the Mefarshim on Mishnayos, there's a classic case to look at the Mefarshim on Mishnayos. See what they say. Says the Tosfos Yatif, why a deer? A deer is very fast. Shatzvi kalarutz. How do you know it's very fast? Right, the first siman in Shulchan Aruch in the tour, right? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos have a rotz katzvi, right? Rotz katzvi, if they run like a deer to serve Hashem. So you see, v'nimsa shezeh sheminiach ma'osav al keren hatzvi hu mizuman lahafsid shatzvi yarutz kal chish v'lo yuchal asigo. So that's number reason number one. A deer is very fast, and that's why putting it on the deer, that's the mashal of you lost. Number two, vishamati, and then he says, I heard, he says, I've never, like, been in the wild with a deer, so I don't know if this is true, but he says, I've heard, sheteva hatzvi lahapil karnosav lezman yadua. A deer will shed its horns at a certain time, vishema yapilam ba'achas ageos o apchasim lo yimsu. So if you put your money on the karen hatzvi, it's going to shed its horns in the middle of some forest, and you're going to lose your money that way. Not just in terms of the speed of the deer, but in terms of the shedding. We know various animals get new horns as they mature. So that's why number two, says the Tosfos Yontif, what I think on number two pshat, why the deer. Pshat number three, and here this is in the Tiferes Yisrael. Tiferes Yisrael here says, Nirali, Deloshen Zeh Taima Detznan Techanan Kamash Malan. This Tzvi Mashal is going to the root of the halacha of why Chanan says you lose. Why? The derech hatzvi lahafoch karnav lamata laachorav kishe yarutz. It's the derech of a deer that he sticks his head in the air and therefore the horns go backwards as he runs. And vahameniach ma'os al karnav. And if you put money on the horns, thinking that maybe it'll go onto the back of the deer, because the horns are going up, it'll fall on the back of the deer. So, that's really risky, says the Tiferes Yisrael, because there's a very good chance that when he puts his horns back, it's not going to fall onto the back of the deer, it's going to fall onto the floor, it's going to fall onto somewhere else. But, Mozo Kerenet Tzvi, that means you're taking a risk, meaning the husband might come back and be very happy with what you did. Thank you so much for supporting my wife, I'll pay you for it. But, there's also a very good chance that he's not going to say that. I didn't ask you to take care of this. So, says the Tiferes Yisrael, that's what the mashal is. It's the risk factor. There's a chance that it'll end up on the back of the deer and it'll come back to you. But there's a good chance it's going to fall on the floor and it's not going to come back to you. V'chashvo shekshis tapchu b'mrutzaso yipo al agav. Toeh, t'tvei matzui sheyipo lamata midelo inichem al agav. V'kmo chen zeh lo hilve lo ha'ish. Rachishev kshiyanichu chob ol ha'isha sheyashuv yipo chob atashlumen al abal. And maybe he even thinks, he says it even more straight, maybe he even thinks of Shibuda de Rabbi Nasan, which we had back, I think, in the ninth parak. If A owes B and B owes C, then A pays directly to C. So maybe he thinks that if he gives money to the wife and the husband owes the wife, then maybe he'll get paid directly from the husband. But Kamash Malan, that's not he makes that mistake. The Baal is still putter, and it's only if he wants to pay out of his own goodwill, will that be the case. So that is three ideas in terms of why dafka the tzvi. Hiniach karnosav al keren hatzvi. Okay, so now let's get into the halacha itself. Why is this? Why is it that if the man steps in and pays the woman and is befarnes the woman, so Chanan holds ibeit es ma'osav? Says Rashi, shelo amarti lecha halveini vani efra. I did not tell you, I'm going to borrow money from you, do it for me. He wasn't commanded to do it. He's stepping in, he's doing a ma'isa chesed, that's fine, but chesed doesn't mean that you have to get paid back for it. Rashi does say, though, im hilva es ha'isha ma'os l'mezono se'a. What if he didn't just give the woman parnasa? He gave the woman money, he lent the woman money. So that's different, says Rashi. Im hilva es ha'isha ma'os l'mezono se'a al menas she'teshalem lo. He lent the woman money. He didn't give the woman a present. He lent the woman money. So now the woman owes. So then, hu tova, he can be tovea the woman for the loan. Vihi tova asabal. And then she, who has the direct chiyuv, could go get from the baal v'yishalem. Like we had earlier, we had a couple of lines ago in the end of yesterday's daf. Mima enes. Love sava achla. She does not get paid back after she does miyun. But before she does miyun, if she was lovsa, then she does get paid back. So therefore, if he had done it in this way, he had lent the woman money, that would work. But it's only because he didn't, right? He dafka did it out of his own, the goodness of himself. So that's why it does not work. Asks Tosfos, why is this different than, we had this earlier on daf pei, yored latok sadoshev shel chaveiro. What if I see your property is in need of, you know, gardening, your property is in need of something, so I go in and I give you service. I service your garden. So the Gemara said earlier that you have to pay me like a worker. Whatever you would pay, minimum wage for a worker, you have to pay me. Even though you didn't ask. Ask Tosis, what's the difference? Between there, I did something for you, and here, the guy did something for the husband too. What's the difference? Ask Tosis, lekalakshuye. It's good to do an interesting study. When does Tosfos say v'yim tomar? When does Tosfos say tema? And when does he say lekalakshuye? Lekalakshuye sounds like it's really not a question. He's not even giving it there a chance to be a havamina, a v'yim tomar. Don't ask me this question. Got to go through all the times Tosfos says that, comparing to see if it's stronger questions by v'yim tomar. Interesting. Lekalakshuye. So don't ask me, mehad kaibalon, that which we hold, hayori l'tochsada shel chaveiro, v'nata shelo birshus, d'shamin lo ka'aris, you evaluate it like a sharecropper, v'lebonech horvasa shel chaveiro, if I build up your dilapidated house, d'nosi lo mashehenheyu, what's the difference? Tosva says there's a difference between giving you money and saving you money. That's a difference in many areas of halacha. Tosfos says that's the same here too. If I work your garden, I have given you, you have in front of you an asset that is worth more. I've given you something. The service that I've given you is worth something. But here, I didn't give you anything. You owed. So now I covered your chiyuv, but I didn't give you anything. I saved you something. So you don't have to give something. But that's not the same in halacha. Giving and saving. Right, it comes up in kiddushin. If a man saves a woman money, is that kiddushin? Right, a woman owes a loan. So a man pays for the woman. I paid your loan. And with that, hana'ah, you're mukudashas to me. Not so pasha. The Gemara talks about that. Right, a money saved and money earned are two different ideas. That's how it's chiluk here. Tahasam ha-shevach ba'enhu, v'dinhu she'yito. Right, the halacha is if you did something for me, you gave me an asset that I have to give you. I have to make it pay you back. Aval hacha lo ishbiach lo shum shevach nachasim. Ela shehitzilu migvias balchovo. I saved you. Velo midi yavla. I didn't give you anything. You know what this is called in halacha? Mavriach ari. That is the code word for the sugya. You put, there was a lion about to attack you, and you shoot away the lion. Mavriach Ari. So that doesn't only mean a line. It means if your field is about to be flooded and I put up a dam and I saved your field. Saving you money is not always the same as giving you money. Even though I give you benefit, then it is not the same. Which Beis Hashem will discuss at length in Maseches Nedarim on the horizon, which talks all about, so if somebody is Mudr Hana, as we're about to talk about from someone else, you know, is somebody allowed to save them, even if not give them? Okay, that's the machlokes that we have between Chanan and the Rabbanan, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai likes the Shita of Chanan. Vaiter, Tznan Hasam, says the Mishnah in Maseches Nedarim. Hamudr Hana Mechaveiro. What does that mean? I make a neder that I'm not allowed to get benefit from you. Mudr hana mechaveiro. The halacha is, you could still do some things because they're not considered for me. Right? You can't do anything for me, but certain things are not considered for me. For example, shokelo ashiklo. You're allowed to give the maksas a shekel on behalf of this person. Shokelo ashiklo. We'll talk about each of these. Uparealo eschova. And you could pay back a loan for him. If he owes money, you could pay, that's not called giving him direct benefit. That's not violating the neder. Umachzir lo avedaso. If you find his aveda, you can give it back to him. Right, we'll see why. Ubamakam shenotlun schar tipol hanol lehektish. But in a place where people get paid for returning lost objects, so then the one who got his object back has to give that money to Hektish. Why? Rashi explains that this is a case where they're mutar hana from each other. It works in both directions. So I, the finder, I can't get paid for it because that's still, you're giving me money for something that I did. That would be called getting benefit from you. But since normally people pay for this service, if you keep the money, that's considered my giving you benefit. So says the Rashi, that's why you have to give the money to Hektish. Give money to that. You can't keep it, but you can't give it to me. So you just got to get it out. And tipol hana lehektish. That's the Mishnah in Maseches Nedarim. So now let's talk about all of these. There are some other Rishonim that try to give a different shot at this line because the Gemara doesn't say it's mudra hana in both directions. It just says one direction. Mudra hana mechaveiro. So the Ritva here and others try to give a different answer why you would have to give it to Hektish even though it's not in both directions. Okay, but we'll continue. Bishlama shokelo eshiklo. Fine, I could give the Maksa Shekel on your behalf, even though I'm not allowed to give anything to you. Why? Mitzvah ka'avid. Because halachically, I could view it as, I'm doing a mitzvah. My mitzvah is connected to God. It's not connected to you. And therefore, I'm not giving you anything. You're right. You, derech agav, benefit from my mitzvah. But when I do a mitzvah, I'm more directly connected to Hashem. It's not, how do I know this? How do I know that my machzah, the machzah shekel, is not directly connected to the person I'm giving it for? Because the Mishnah says in Maseches, or the Brisa related to Shkoim, Tarmin al ha'avud v'al ha'gavui v'al ha'asid ligvos. What does that mean? Well, we spoke about the past couple of days. When the Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash takes out from the barrel for the Truma, he does the Truma from the Lishka to use that money to buy the new Karbanos, so he has in mind all of Klal Yisrael when he does that. Even on Avud, even if somebody sent their Shekel and it got lost on the way. V'ala Gavui, or if it was collected already, but it's not here yet. V'ala Asid Ligvos. And even on the money that was not, people who are very late, procrastinators, he still has them in mind also. So you see, the shekel that is used is not directly, even if somebody doesn't give it, hasn't given it yet, still they're included in the kapara and the matzah shekel. So you see, giving the matzah shekel is not directly connected to the one who you are giving it on behalf of. Fine, so that's why matzah shekel is not a problem. There is a major machlokas here, Rashi and Tosfos. What does al ha'asid ligvos mean? Rashi says, even if it's never collected. Even if he never gives it. Says Rashi ksubis kufches, quoted all over in the sugya. Even if he never gives the shekel, he's still connected to the karbanos sibur. Rashi right here, al ha'asid ligvos v'afilu lo nigve le'achar mikan. Even if he's not collected, yesh lo chelek betruma ubikarbanos. Ela shechiser mitzvah. He has a chelek. In the Truma and the Karbanos, he just loses the mitzvah. He lost the opportunity to be intensely connected, let's say. And that's why Nimsa Schar Mitzvah Ala Nosein. That's Rashi. Tosfos is not happy with this. Tosfos says, no, it's on the future. But what does it mean, Asid Ligvos? Asid Ligvos means Asid Ligvos. Don't say never Ligvos. It's Asid Ligvos. Right? That's what Tosfos discusses here. Right, not that it's not going to be connected at all. Just parenthetically, we know there's a discussion in the Achronim, in the Besamim Rosh. Besamim Rosh, they thought was a tshuva of the Rosh, but it's later been proven that it's not a tshuva of the Rosh, it's someone else. The tshuva is Besamim Rosh, and others discuss whether women have to daven Musaf. Do women have to daven Musaf? That is a discussion in the Achronim. Why? Because women have to daven. Right, women have to daven. What do they have to daven? So, shachris, mincha. But musaf is a shiloh. Machlokas achronim, whether women, why wouldn't women have to daven? So, maybe, some achronim say it's connected to the machzah shekel. Women don't have to give machzah shekel, which is connected to the carbon of sibur. And their women are connected to the carbon of sibur, kapara, and therefore carbon musaf is a carbon sibur. Right, all the other ones, they're private. It's connected to the carbon tamid also, but it's rachmi. A lot of davening, as the Gemara says. And to daven for compassion from Hashem, that applies to everybody. But Karban Musaf has no davening for compassion. Karban Musaf is purely Karban Sibur. So that's a machlokas achronim, whether women have to daven. But part of it is their connection to the Machzor HaShekel. Some Achronim say, what? So anybody who doesn't have to give to the Machzor HaShekel don't have to daven Musaf? What about Kohanim and Levim? Right? What about this guy who never gave to the Machzor HaShekel? It's easy, Yisrael. He should have given, according to Rashi. But anyway, that's a discussion in the Achronim. So, says the Gemara, I understand why somebody who's Mudur Hanah can give a shekel on his behalf, because as we see, it's not directly connected. Umachzer lo aveda sonami, and also returning him his aveda, nami mitzvah ka'avid. Also, he's doing a mitzvah. So I understand why that's allowed. The Rashva in Nedarim has a beautiful lashon where this is discussed in Nedarim, has a beautiful lashon explaining this. V'klala dahaini mili. V'im yesh mitzvah bedavar. Kigon milamdo mishnah halachos agados. Inami mevakro b'chalyo. Could he teach me Torah? Could he visit me when I'm sick? Is that allowed if I'm mudur hana from him? Afal pi shemagia hana l'chole b'vikuro mutter. Even though, says the Rashba, I get hanah by the visits, it's still mutter. V'af machzor avedaso, and even if you return me the my aveda, avo bishanah ba mizel azem mamish, you're giving me my watch. How can you say that's not hanah? Mishum delo chashvinan le kimis asik bahanaso shel zeh, el kimis asik bidenafshe. When somebody's involved in a mitzvah, even though there is a recipient of my mitzvah, I can look at it halachically as I'm involved in my own thing. And memela, you get hana'a. V'nimsa zen nehene memela. Wow. V'yodolo chashvidan leke mahane, tekivan sheish mitzvah bedavar, harbe anashim yeshe yachziru. V'imlo yachzer zeh, yavo acher v'yachzer. Someone else could have returned it. V'imlo yilamdeinu zeh, yavo acher v'yilamid. You could have a different Rebbe. And therefore, mishum delo chashvidan le b'maka mitzvah bishlichu sei, ela b'mashet tzarech das, kitshruma. Only by truma it might be usher, because you're a stand-in for the owner there. When I'm involved in a mitzvah, I mean, it's an extreme formulation, but one could say it as, when I'm a vaker chola, the chola is a hechi timsi for me to do the mitzvah of biker cholim. Chas v'shalom, we really, if somebody does the mitzvah like that, then they're losing the message of the mitzvah. But one has to realize in terms of halachic implications, my mitzvah is connected to Hashem. Even my Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is connected to Hashem. That's what we see from this halacha. Okay, so let's continue. Says, the Shin Mekubetzos here says there's one or two exceptions to the rule, like tzedakah. Tzedakah is a problem, because tzedakah you can give to any ani. Why are you choosing this ani? So even though that's a mitzvah, but, you know, really you could give to other aniyim. You could also visit other cholim, but this is your friend, you go visit him. Okay, let's continue. So fine, I understand the first two. Ela porelo eschovo hakamishtar shile. But paying somebody's loan, isn't that giving him hana? So if I'm giving him hana, so then how is it, why is it allowed? So amar avoshia hamani chanani. That's exactly chanan shita. Chanan says, "Da'amar ibid es ma'osav." What did Chanan say here? With the third party saves the husband money, that's not called hana. He doesn't have to pay him back. So to hear, if you pay somebody's loan, that's not called direct hana to you, and that's why it would be mutter. That is Rav Oshia. V'Rava Amar, no. Rava says, "Afilu teimer rabbanan." You can even say it's the rabbanan shita. The rabbanan who say that in the case of the husband and the wife, the husband does have to pay the third party. Here it would still be mutter. Hacha b'mayaskinan, because it's an ukimta. What's our case? Shelava almanas shelo lefroa. The case is where, when is it mutter? A case where the loan was made almanas that you can never come and ask me for to get paid back. If I ever want to pay you back, I'll pay you back. But it's an open-ended loan. So in that case, if you pay for me, so you're not giving me any benefit because I didn't have to pay for it anyway. That's why it's mutter. Because it's that specific case where he didn't have to pay him back. Almanas shelo lefroa. Ache yirtze, right? Basically, it's a chesed, and therefore you didn't have to pay me back. So bishlamar Rava lo amar kravoshia. I understand why Rava would like to understand this mission in Nedarim as not like kravoshia demukim like rabbanan. He'd rather not be boxed in. He'd rather say that it's goes like the rabbanan. El kravoshia, my time lo amar karava. But why didn't kravoshia say like Rava? So the Gemara could have answered because it's a very dachuk suggestion to say that that's the type of loan that we're talking about. But the Gemara gives a little different answer. Amalecha Rav Oshia, nihita hana leslei. Fine, in this type of loan case, right, he's saying, even l'shitascha, I argue with you. Even if you want to say there's no direct Tana, kisufa mia lesle. But still, if I borrowed money from you, every time I walk by you, I'm going to be a little embarrassed if I didn't pay you back yet. So you're still saving him that embarrassment. So that is why it's still a violation of the Mudr Hana. Rashi does not have the next couple of words. We do. We'll read them. The Bach adds in, Lishna Achrina. Hasamnami is lehana. Biahi ana de mixamina. Here also he has ana. And with that ana that he's embarrassed, that he saves him from, that is what is a violation of Mudr Hana. The Maharav, or Bitzal Ranchberg here, says, according to the Girsa that we have, what's the difference between the two deus? Sounds very similar. Sounds very similar. So he says the nafgamina is just whether it is really considered hana'a gemura. Right, do you say it's enough to be a violation of Mudr Hana, but it's not really Hana? Like in other contexts of Halacha, maybe it wouldn't be called Hana? That's the first Deya. Right, there is some embarrassment. That Deya doesn't say explicitly that it is Hana. It's just that there is some embarrassment, so maybe that's enough to violate Mudr Hana. The second Deya is saying that, no, it's Hana. It's Hana. Maybe in other contexts of Halacha, that would be called Hana as well. Okay, one final point. The Chashukei Chemed discusses here the following case. Somebody makes a simcha, Baruch Hashem, a Baal simcha, and he has a lot of guests over, and all the guests, when they get Alios, they are no there, you know, to give money for the shul, give money for whatever cause. After Shabbos, the Baal simcha goes over to the Gabbai and says, what's your total from all the guests? He gives him the total. He says, I don't want to have my guests have to pay, so here. He pays him everything that all the guests were no there. He doesn't want the guests to feel uncomfortable, you know, that they have to pay. Do the guests have to pay? I paid on your behalf, but I promised to give staka. So you paid for me. So that's his question. And again, it goes back and forth, discussing this case, where you pay on behalf of somebody, so you save them money. But here might be different. It's a mitzvah. It's staka. Is it already nikne at the time, you know, from when you're no der staka? It's a different kind of chiyuv. That's his Shaila here. Very fascinating discussion. You know, what was the Baal Simcha correct in what he was doing? He definitely didn't want them to have to, you know, they felt bad when they get an aliyah. They have to, you know, there's something, but he didn't want them when I said they have to pay. But that's the question that he deals with. Okay, let's continue. Says the Mishnah, Admon Omer Shiva. So we have the two statements of Chanan, and now we have the seven statements of Admon. He says seven. Number one, we've had already in this Masechta. Misha Meisvi Niach Banim Ubano. Somebody dies and he left over children, sons and daughters. Bizman Shanachasim Merubim. When there's enough assets to go around. Habanim Yarshim Vahabanos Nizonos. So then the boys get Yerusha, right? The Daraisa, they get Yerusha, and the daughters get fed from the estate, right, until they get married. Ubinachasim Muatim. But if there's only a small amount of assets, not enough to go around, Habanos Yizonos, so the daughters are the ones that take precedence, they're the ones that get Mizonos, V'habanim Yachzer Al Apsachim, and the sons have to go beg, they have to go out and figure out, it's easier for them to go out, so therefore, they have to figure it out. Admon Omer, Admon says, B'shvil Shani Zachar Hifsadati, well, because I'm male, I lose? Because I'm male, I lose? That's all he says. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Rohani is David Admon. Rabbi Gamliel says, and I like what Admon says. Well, what did Admon say? He just said, it's not fair. So, what do we usually tell our children? So think of another solution. He doesn't say what his other solution is. He just said, it's not fair. Tosis quotes Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says that Admon is not arguing. He's just exclaiming, it's not fair, but he's not suggesting another shita. Says Rabbeinu Tam, right here, in the middle of Tosas Admon. Dehainu taima da Admon lav le'ifluge amilsa da chachamim asa. Elam mitame ba'almahu. He's just exclaiming. And that makes it even more fascinating. There Rabbi Gamliel says, oh, I like his exclamation. That makes it very difficult. The Ritva says, the fact that Rabbi Gamliel likes his explanation, that seems to point in the direction of they're arguing about something here. And that's where the Ritva quotes, against Rabbeinu Tam, I don't think that they are saying the same shita. I think there is a machlokas. Vein pirish tosas nachon. Shemeno cholik. Mazeh shomer gamliel. Roan is yever amod. Elavadei polig. Velasilchazak kavasei. Right? He argues, but halacha is not like him. Halacha is like the Tanakhama says. Yeah, and in this case, the boys will lose. That we know. The Rambam and others also paskin against Admon in this case, even though we say Roe Ani es Divrei Admon. Says the Gemara, my Kamar, what exactly did Admon mean by saying Bishvil Shani Zachar? It sounds like he's saying, I'm a Zachar. I have some adifus that I shouldn't be worse. So Amar Rabbi Hachikamar, Bishvil Shani Zachar, Veroy, Lasok Batorah, Hifsadati. Yeah, I'm being Osik Batorah, I have a Chiv of Talmud Torah. I should lose, I have to be Mavatal Torah to go and to collect. The women don't have a Chiv of Talmud Torah. That's what he meant. But either way, as Tosfos said, he wasn't arguing Lamaisa, and even if he was, we don't paskin like that. Amar Le Rava. Rava says, one second. Man da Osik Batorah, Hu de Yaris, Man da Lo Osik Batorah, Lo Yaris. What do they mean? Okay, fine, boys have a Chiv of Talmud Torah. What does that have to do with Yerusha? Or, if there's not enough nechasim, so Chazal said it goes to the daughters. Elo amar Rava hachikamar. This is what he meant. Bishvil sha'ani zachar v'roi. Nothing to do with Talmud Torah. We're not talking about Torah here. Bishvil sha'ani zachar v'roi lirash b'nechasim merubim. Hifsadati b'nechasim muatin. What he's bothered by is, how could we flip it? If I get Yerusha when there's enough assets, I get zero when there's not enough assets. I'm the only one that gets Yerusha when there's enough assets. And now you're telling me I get nothing? That's what he's bothered by. How could you have two extreme cases? And the answer is, because you look at each one of them separately. Where there's the Chazal said, where the girls are taken care of, then you can have the Yerusha. And where they're not taken care of, then you cannot. Good. The sugya of women and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is also a very large one. The Ramah, we always like to mention in Yaradeya, where the Ramah says, women also have a chiyuv of Talmud Torah. Women have to learn all the mitzvahs that are shayach to them, meaning dalal chelkei shulchan aruch. Women have plenty to learn. Shabbos, kashrus, taharas mishpacha, everything. Most of our achayim, right? Evan Ezer, Yaradeya, Choshe Mishpat. It all applies to men and women equally. So you know, there's plenty that women have to learn. Okay, maybe not as a mitzvah per se, as a hechsher for the mitzvahs to be done, but still they have a chiyuv to learn. Plenty. That's the Ramah in Yaradeya. Says the Mishnah. So here's another example of Shas in Ksubis. Hatoin es chavero kadei shemen vode bekankanim. Here we go, a real Nazikin topic. Right? Mode bemiksas issues. Somebody goes to their friend and says, You owe me bottles of oil. And the man admitted, I owe you bottles. Is that called mode bemiksas? Meaning, there's a question about the tviya, and there's a question about the answer. Meaning, when I say you owe me bottles of oil, am I really claiming bottles also? Or am I only claiming oil? Number one. Number two, even if I am claiming bottles also, so am I claiming bottles and oil as one claim, and when you admit to either of them, that's modu b'miksas, or am I making two separate claims? And if you admit to one, that's considered a full hodah on one, and a full kfira, denial on the other, and it's not modu b'miksas. So these are all questions about this case. So, somebody claims from their friend Kadei Shemen v'hodeh bekankanim, and he agrees to the bottles. So, the Gemara says, Admon, the Tosas Yantav there discusses why the switch of Kadim and Kankanim, not for now. Admon Omer, Hoel v'hodeh b'miksas atani yishava. This is Mode b'miksas, says Admon. Meaning Admon, what's the assumption of Admon? Admon is saying that he's claiming both, and it's one claim. So when you admit to one of them, that's modu b'miksas. V'chachamim omrim, ein hodas miksas v'imena taina. No, this is not modu b'miksas. A crucial to machlokas on the level of daraisa. Right? Is this modu b'miksas with the chiyuv shvua? Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Rohani is devrei Admon. And I think Admon is correct. So what could be the svara for Admon? What's the svara? Right? It could be a couple of possibilities. The Gemara is going to talk about it. Is it because that there was never a claim for bottles? Right? Or do we say, no, there was a claim for bottles, but they're two separate claims. That's what the Gemara is going to think at the beginning. The latter. See, here we go. Shma mina l'rabbanan. From the fact that the Rabbanan say it's not modu b'miksas, so we assume, shma mina, why did the Rabbanan say that? Because there were two separate claims. There was towing the bottles and the towing the oil. He admitted on the bottles that has nothing to do with the oil. Therefore, he was modu b'kol and he was kofer b'kol. That's the svara we think originally for the Rabbanan. So Shmaim and the Rabbanan, Tanu Chitim v'Seorim. If somebody claims Chitim and Seorim, V'Hoda b'Seorim, and he admits to one, then Pater. You're Pater in that case. Meaning if you claim two things and you admit to one, that's called Moda Bakol and Kofer Bakol. So Lema Tevi Tiyufta, the Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. But this is a major machlokas elsewhere in Baba Metzia and elsewhere. So is this Rabbanan against the Shita of Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel? Because he says chayiv in that case. So our answer is no. Amar view the marav, no. Bitoa no mida. The case in our Mishnah has nothing to do with that case.
In our Mishnah, he's not claiming bottles at all. The bottles is just explaining how much oil he is claiming. You owe me a bottle full of oil, that measurement. But he's not claiming, and that's why there's no modem mixas here. Not because he's two things versus one thing. He's not claiming, it's like modem towing one thing and admitting something else. That's what it is. That's what the Roshita of the Rabbanan. Ihachi maitaima da admon. If so, what's the reason for admon? If he's not claiming bottles, so then what's the reason for admon? So Elam Rav as follows. Dekule alma, everybody would agree. Hecha to amarle male asara kade shem and yeshli babarcha. If somebody says, I have the amount of 10 kadim of oil in your bore, in your pit, so then shema katon le kakadim lo katon le. That claim is only oil. Because he's claiming in the bore. So then for sure, even Admo would agree, Potter. Asara kadi shemen maleim, if he claims 10 full kadim of oil, that's the other way. Yishli etzlecha shemen v'kakanim katanli, then he's for sure claiming both. If he's saying 10 full bottles. Ki pligi, the machlokes is where it's an unclear lashon. Hecha da amarle, asara kadi shemen yishli etzlecha. You have 10 kadi shemen, doesn't say maleim. He says 10 kadi shemen I have by you. So that's the machlokas. Admon Omer, Yish Blashon Azel Lashon Kankanim. He's also claiming the Kankanim, and therefore it would be Modi B'mixas. For Rabbanan Savri, in Blashon Azel Lashon Kankanim. No, he's not. He's not claiming the bottles. The bottles are just packaging, right, which we will, Beshem, get back to soon. So the Gemara says 1 minute. So this is the machlokas. Ela Taima De Ein Blashon Azel Lashon Kankanim. The reason the Rabbanan say Patir here is because there's no claim of bottles. Hayesh b'lashon hazeh lashon kankanim. But if we would know for sure that he would be keep claiming both shemen and kankanim, the Rabbanu would agree. Chayiv. So then maybe it's a tziyufta the other way. Let me tell you a tziyufta to Reb Chiya bar Abba. Dam Reb Chiya bar Abba, tanu chitim v'sa'orim v'hoda lo be'echanim patur. Right now we're saying that everybody would agree that if you knew for sure that the claim, the taina, was kankanim and shemen, then there would be modem mixas. But why is that different than this case? Chidim and Sa'ar, and he mits to one of them, patur. Kasha on that day, answer, don't compare the cases. Amr of Simi Barashi, Naase Kimi, Shetano Rimon, Bikli Paso. No, claiming bottles and oil is not the same as claiming barley and wheat. Barley and wheat are two different things. Right, bottles and oil, that's like a pomegranate in its peel. Right, that's not the same as two different things. No, that's just packaging. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? Pascha v'Ravina. Bottles aren't the same as skin. Rimon below klipasa lo mintar. A pomegranate without its peel is not guarded. Isn't it amazing? Rav Victor Miller likes to point out that Hashem, whenever you have a fruit or a vegetable, Hashem gives it an amazing package. Right? You ever peel an apple and leave it out for 2 hours? It becomes gross. But you could have an apple on a tree for a week, for a month, and it stays perfectly. How did that happen? This magical peel. You have an orange. You peel it, you leave it out, it becomes hard and prickly, and it's not good anymore. Hashem, you could stay out for weeks, an orange. It's unbelievable. The Bria, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is unbelievable. Right, he leaves it. Anything, fruit, vegetables. You leave it out, in Hashem's world, it can stay for weeks. You do something to it, all of a sudden, you take the peel off, you take it out. Unbelievable. Anyways, that's the Gemara. So you have to read this line of the Gemara and come to the Rambam and Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, that if you look around at the world, it comes to Avat Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Okay. Rima v'lo klipasa lo mintar. Shem and mintar v'lo kankanim. The oil doesn't need the bottles. Right, it's not the exact same thing. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Ella, you know what, maybe let's stop by Ella before the last answer, because I just wanted to mention one other point. And that is an amazing chiddush of Rav Moshe Feinstein, which some of you might be familiar with already. We mentioned it before. And Rav Moshe Feinstein in Yaradeya, and Chelek Beisim and Mem, talks about, if I keep, getting back to what we started with today, if I buy a Snapple bottle, so if I buy a Snapple glass bottle, if I buy a wine bottle, right? If I buy anything with a glass bottle, do I have to tovel it if I decide to keep it and use it again? Meaning, now it's full. I can't tovel it. It's full of Snapple. It's full of anything. But let's say I want to keep it. Right, now in fancy restaurants, They use a glass bottle to put water in. They say it tastes better than not just plastic, glass. So let's say if you have a bottle, you want to reuse it. You have to tovel it again. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, no. Why? Machlokas aposkim. But this is Rav Moshe Shita. But what's Rav Moshe Svara? When you bought the bottle, did you buy the Snapple and the glass? Did you buy the wine and the bottle? No. All you bought was the wine or the Snapple. You bought what's inside. And the other thing was just packaging. That didn't have its own status. The second that you decide to keep it, that's called Asiya Biyad Yisrael. A Jew made that kli. It wasn't a kli beforehand. A Jew made it now, and therefore it doesn't require tefillah. That's a huge chiddush. That's a huge chiddush. But that's what Rav Moshe says. V'nipsa shalokana me'akum kli klal. V'rak eitzel ha'yisrael. Nase kli. Shaleka alzeh din tefillah. V'afim ha'yukelim shalo nasu b'yichol ha'achnis shama mashkim l'mochem yachad. And even if the bottles, let's say there's a bottle company that makes bottles. And then the wine company bought the bottle. So there wasn't made dafka for this. It was made to be a glass. It doesn't matter. You could still say it was only maybe out of Yisrael. He quotes a Mishnah in Meiser Sheni, Niftala Klila Hamashkin, Vakana Meiser, Ubeetzem, Leka. And anyway, in our country, says Rav Moshe, there's no date on this. In our country, all the bottles are made dafka for the purpose of packaging. Factory. He's talking about schnapps. That's a huge chiddush of Rav Moshe, but it has to do with our case. Meaning, when you're claiming oil, maybe the bottles aren't even on the radar because it's just the packaging. Okay, Beis Hashem, tomorrow we'll have to do the last answer of Ella. What's the real machlokas between Adzmon and the Chachamim? And then get into the next couple of machlokos on tomorrow's daf. Okay, we'll stop here.